Grace, mercy, peace, and Christmas joy be unto you from God our Father and our newborn Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is the gospel reading, the classic Christmas gospel from Luke chapter 2. And there's a whole lot in that reading that is familiar to us. But specifically this morning for our message, I'd like for us to focus on the things that the angels announced to the shepherds. And there's really two major things that they announced. First and foremost, they announced that great joy, this good news, is for all people. And then secondly, they announced that this child who has been born in Bethlehem is the one who is going to bring peace on earth. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this morning we're all gathered here together with one common purpose, one common goal. We're here giving thanks and praise to our God for sending his Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. We are here in church recognizing what this holiday and this whole holiday season is really all about. We're beginning this busy, eventful, beautiful Christmas day with a time of worship. And so I'm really glad that you're all here today. I'm glad that with all the other things that are going on and with all the different places we might be going the rest of the day, that this is the one thing that we all have in common. That we are here to hear God's word. We're here to sing those amazing Christmas carols. We're here to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in communion. All of these things unite us. And not just us Christians right here locally in Hoyleton, but these things unite us with all Christians around the world. And most especially, these things unite us even with the saints who have gone before us, our loved ones in heaven who are celebrating Christmas there in the Lord's presence. What an amazing thing that is. Isn't it interesting, though, how when it comes to Christmas traditions, there doesn't seem to be one standard way that people celebrate, right? I mean, you would think with as important of a holiday Christmas is, that there would be more uniformity in our Christmas traditions, but you know, as we all go about our separate ways today, we're all going to be doing something a little bit different from your neighbor who's sitting in the pew next to you. You know, some of us are probably going to be having a big, giant Christmas feast today, maybe very similar to what you had on Thanksgiving. And some of you might have maybe just a simple little Christmas dinner. Last night after church on Christmas Eve, my family went out and we had Chinese food, and it was awesome. And I know that I wasn't the only one who thought of that, because we saw a couple other members of our congregation there at the restaurant too. I know some of you are going to have like a big giant gift exchange with all of your extended family. And some of you might just have a few friends over for some laughs, maybe play some cards, something like that. Some of you opened your presents last night. Some of you opened your presents first thing this morning. Some of you are still waiting for this church service to be over so you can go home and tear into those brown paper packages tied up with strings. Maybe, if you've noticed, you have a family tradition that's different from everybody else, right? Maybe your family does something different, something that's meaningful to you that nobody else does. Maybe you've got a special food that you all eat. You know, like a recipe that was handed down from Grandma Schmidt many years ago. Maybe you've got a song that your family loves to sing. Maybe you are the only family that actually eats figgy pudding on Christmas Day. I'm not even sure what figgy pudding is. I hope I never find out. The point is, there really is no one right way to celebrate Christmas. But even though we will all go our separate ways and we will all do our own thing, it doesn't mean that we're divided today. We are united today on Christmas Day by the faith that we share in the Son of God, the child born in Bethlehem. And if you think about it, that's really what the whole incarnation of God is all about. It's about unity. The amazing moment where God chooses to become man, to become a human being so that all other human beings can be united in him. That's really what the angels are announcing to the shepherds in this passage. If you look here in this passage from Luke chapter 2, you have these simple shepherds. They're out there in the fields, they're minding their own business, and yeah, they are filled with great fear because all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they are surrounded with the glory of God and an army of angels. But what does the angel say in verse 10? He says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." All the people. So not just those scared shepherds, not just Mary and Joseph in the manger, not just all the people who lived within the boundaries of ancient Israel, but all people, all humanity benefits from this good news. All nations, all tribes, all races and ethnicities, all of humanity has this child born for them in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And so in that way, Jesus, in his incarnation, in his humanity, he bridges the gaps. He bridges those differences that exist between us here on earth. Even if it's just something little, like the different ways that we celebrate Christmas Day, or even if it's a much wider gap that Jesus bridges for us. You know, like the difference between somebody who's born here in America and someone who might be born in a third world nation, right? Even though there might be a wider gap, Jesus bridges that gap in his humanity. All of humanity is encompassed in Jesus, in his incarnation, without any exceptions, without any qualifications whatsoever. I was thinking about this the other day as I was re-watching parts of a Christmas movie, as many people tend to do at this time of the year. Back in November, my family made the decision to go ahead and get a subscription to Disney Plus, which, if you don't know what that is, that's Disney's new streaming service that they offer. And so we have, with this subscription, access to all of these old Disney movies, and it's wonderful, it's great. We were all together at home, I think it was probably during one of the snow days last week, and we decided to put on the movie The Santa Claus, starring Tim Allen. Which, by the way, I don't know if you realize this, but The Santa Claus is 25 years old this year. That movie came out in 1994, believe it or not. But anyway, I wasn't really paying that close attention to the movie, but I happened to look up at the screen at the very moment where Bernard the Elf explains to Tim Allen's character about the Santa Claus. And not Santa Claus like the jolly guy with the presents, but the Santa Claus is in the clause, the legal contract that obligates Tim Allen to now become Santa. And the Santa Claus goes like this. It says, "In putting on the suit and entering the sleigh, the wearer waives any and all rights to any previous identity, real or implied, and fully accepts the duties and responsibilities of Santa Claus in perpetuity until such time that wearer becomes unable to do so either by accident or design." So when asked what all of that legal mumbo-jumbo means, Bernard the Elf simply says, "You put on the suit, you're the big guy." Now, in other words, Tim Allen's character, I forget what his name is in the movie, when he puts on Santa's suit, he, in that moment, embodies all of the other Santas that have come before him. And not only that, but he starts to take on that persona personally. So he grows the beard, he has the big belly full of jelly, right? He starts to have an insatiable appetite for milk and cookies. But also, he's got to take on all the responsibilities of Santa as well. So now he's got to make the list and check it twice. He's got to go down all the chimneys. He's got to deliver all the presents. Obviously, this is just a silly movie that has absolutely no basis in reality, but I do believe that there is something that this whole idea of putting on the suit and having this Santa Claus apply to you, I think that that can actually teach us something insightful about the Lord's incarnation. Because ultimately, what Christmas is really all about That is the moment where God decides to put on the suit of humanity. And when God puts on the suit, he enters into a binding covenant with all of mankind. When God puts on the suit, he willingly embodies all people, all human beings across the whole world, every corner of the earth. And not just that, but all human beings from all time, past, present, and future, from the days of Adam's creation in the garden until the last day. That is what God takes on when he takes on the suit of humanity. When God puts on the suit, he also takes on the responsibilities that have been given to humankind. So that means that now it is God's responsibility to fulfill the law perfectly, to do so flawlessly, to perfectly love God and love neighbor, which is exactly what Jesus did. But not only that, to bear our sin, to bear our guilt, to take it all the way to the cross, to stand in our place and receive our punishment. And I know it seems like it's outside of the spirit of Christmas to talk about Jesus in that way, you know, this newborn baby who was born to be crucified. But really, that's what makes this particular birth special. Jesus represents all of us in his incarnation. Jesus represents all of us in his crucifixion. Jesus represents all of us in his resurrection, too. And so that's why we can confess, just like the angels did, that this is good news of great joy, and this is for all people. A couple verses later, in this text, in verse 14, the herald angels sing almost exactly the same words that we just sang in the sermon hymn. They sing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." So peace on earth and mercy mild. Now, a cynical person would hear that and say, well, come on. I mean, there's no way there's ever going to truly be peace on earth. Look at all of the injustice. Look at all of the religious wars. Look at all the poverty. Look at all the racism. How could you ever say that there's going to be peace on earth? But remember, Christmas is also about the fact that God is able to accomplish things that mankind could never even dream of doing. With God, a virgin conceives and bears a son. With God, a miraculous star appears in the sky. With God, this humble child, the earthly son of a carpenter, is worshipped like a king. And so this God, who is able to do all of these things, is also, at the same time, able to bring peace on earth. And the way that he does that, of course, is by putting on the suit. By putting on the suit of humanity, by doing everything necessary to bring that peace into this world, by including all people in his Christmas promise. You know, Jesus was born into this world as a Middle Eastern Jewish man, and yet you have probably seen depictions of him. You've probably seen nativity scenes this time of the year where Jesus is depicted as maybe African or Asian or maybe a blue-eyed European. You've seen these things. Maybe they're not historically accurate, but they are theologically accurate. In God, when he puts on the suit, all of those divisions, all of those hostilities, all of those differences between people are put aside for good. And we long to feel that kind of peace and unity here and now. We know that there are plenty of days when we feel like it's not possible, but even when we don't see it with our own eyes, we believe that there is a day coming when all of humanity will recognize the peace and unity that Jesus has won for us, when every knee will bow, when every tongue will confess, when joyful all the nations will rise and join the triumph of the skies. God put on the suit of humanity in his incarnation. He made a covenant of love with his people to save us from sin and death, to welcome us into his kingdom forever. These are the things that are so much more binding than any Santa Claus could ever be. And since we are bound together by the incarnation of Jesus Christ, let's celebrate this holiday in true unity, with peace, peace with God, peace with one another, as we celebrate with our family and friends, as we participate in our own personal family traditions, especially as we come to this altar, as we receive the body and blood of Christ, and we do so as one body. Here, in the Lord's house, is the triumph of the skies. Here is the incarnate deity. Here, God and sinners are reconciled. Glory to the newborn King forever and ever. Merry Christmas. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.